If you hear the tinkling of a little bell nearby, it's because my cat Odin has decided that he needs to be present while I speak today. So he is beside me on the hearth at the fireplace, taking a bath, and he wears a bell because he's that kind of cat. So we have to keep track of where he is. So if you hear the little tinkling of the bell, that is just Odin taking a bath. Yes, very enthusiastically. And so he's with us in our sacred time and sacred space together. So the title of today's lesson is Always Do Your Best. We've been studying from the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. This is our final Sunday in this series. Reverend Kit just finished her Wednesday night class this last Wednesday. So we've been trying to go in tandem with the teachings in the book as she's been teaching her class. This is one of those great little books that is deceptive in its simplicity. It seems like the words that Don Miguel Ruiz says in the Four Agreements are easy. They are easy to hear. They are something that takes mastery for us to practice them in their complexity and then their completeness. The first three steps are this. Let me just make sure that I don't lose track of where we are. The first agreement is be impeccable with your word. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. And we talked about that last week. If you missed the very beginning of today, go back to the beginning and listen to why I am in my home today instead of on the platform at the Unity of Wimberley Sanctuary. And then again, our fourth agreement today is always do your best. You see, if we always do our best, and we're working with the three other agreements, then our life begins to take on a quality of freedom and flexibility and joy that we might not have experienced before. One of the things that I love about Don Miguel's words is that he reminds us that doing our best doesn't mean that on the days that we are I'll use the words from the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. If we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, we're probably not going to be at our best. And those are usually the things that that get to us. Those are the things that throw us off our course. And if we look at anger, usually underneath that is fear and sadness. So if we're in fear, if we're in sadness, if we're in anger, if we're hungry, if we're tired, if we're lonely, if we're out of sorts, we're not always going to do our best. But he also accompanies these words with saying that we don't get to judge ourselves on those days that we're not at our very best. And that is a big relief, isn't it? Isn't it a good thing to know that you don't have to judge yourself? He actually calls that inner critic the judge with a capital T and a capital J. So the judge is the one that sits inside us telling us that we have to be productive, that we have to do things a certain way, that we are not living up to what we are supposed to be doing. One of the things that Don Miguel stresses over and over again is that our life is to be lived not just to make a paycheck, not just to satisfy the inner judge, not just to do what's expected of us in ways that has no life, no passion, no joy, and I like to say no juice to it. Because why are we living if that's the situation? Now, I also want to be sensitive to the fact that many people have no choice but to work two or three jobs in order to put food on the table for their families. The thing that I can say to that is that God is present in every task. God is present in every interaction. And in that knowledge, then those tasks and those interactions, no matter what job we're doing, no matter how fatigued we are, those actions can begin to take on a joy in themselves. And so if we're doing something that we love to do, even if we're doing it because we love to be able to provide for our families, if we're doing that, then the reward is in that itself. And so, beloved, I encourage you to do the things that give you joy. No matter how much you're working a job, if that is not bringing you joy, find some place in your life that does. Because this opens the way for you to do your best. There's a story that Don Miguel relates, and I'm going to read it to you because the words are so beautiful that I don't want to lose anything. There was a man who wanted to transcend his suffering, so he went to a Buddhist temple to find a master to help him. He went to the master and asked, "Master, if I meditate 4 hours a day, how long will it take me to transcend?" The master looked at him and said, "If you meditate 4 hours a day, perhaps you will transcend in 10 years. Thinking he could do better, the man then said, "Oh, master, what if I meditate 8 hours a day? How long will it take me to transcend?" The master looked at him and said, "If you meditate 8 hours a day, perhaps you will transcend in 20 years. "But why will it take me longer if I meditate more?" the man asked. The master replied, "You are not here to sacrifice your joy or your life. You are here to live, to be happy, and to love. If you can do your best in 2 hours of meditation, but you spend 8 hours instead, you will only grow tired, miss the point, and you won't enjoy your life. Do your best, and perhaps you will learn that no matter how long you meditate, you can live, love, and be happy." I think those are outstanding words, and they're good for us to remember. I'm not saying that if you choose to go live in an ashram, if you choose to live a life in transcendental meditation, that's fine. Make sure that it's bringing you joy. Make sure that you're living your life. There are very, very few of us who can escape the responsibilities and the menial tasks and the things that we must do every day. The way that we do them determines how fulfilled our life is. Even as I've been putting this talk together, I've been thinking about my granny. My granny was born in 1911. And so she lived through the great influenza epidemic of 1918. She lived through the Great Depression. She lived through the Dust Bowl. Her family were migrant workers. And she had a tough childhood. There were 13 children, and she was a twin out of those 13 kids. It was a hard life for her. But I never knew a time. Oh, the other part of my granny's life is that she and my grandpa divorced when my mom was 16. And so at that point, my granny lived as a single mom the rest of her life. And she chose not to have a partner. And she worked up until it was time for her to retire, and then she did so, and she was a seamstress. She never went to college. It was difficult for her to even finish high school. So my granny, I never knew a time that granny wasn't a joyful person. I think it's because granny had a faith that was deep and enduring. And it was not born out of an escape from the suffering that her life had brought her. It was more a way to find God in the midst of the suffering. And so by the time I came along, and I'm the oldest of her grandchildren, by the time I came along, I didn't know Granny not being joyful. She was still working. She was still working hard every day, living on her own, not making a whole lot of money. But she went to church every Sunday, and she found a lot of joy there, and she enjoyed her friends there. She enjoyed her grandchildren. She enjoyed her children. She enjoyed her nieces and nephews. And I am so grateful to her for showing me a life of simplicity and joy, a life of faith, a life of hope. She had been a longtime smoker, unfortunately, not unusual for the era in which she lived. She quit when I was really young, but later on, the damage that had been done to her lungs showed up as emphysema. She had back problems from the hard work that she'd done all her life. And so her last few years of being on this earth were not comfortable for her. But she rarely complained, rarely. And she always found something to be joyful about. She always did. I wonder sometimes if I've idealized Granny. But to me, she always did her best because her life was filled with joy. She was quick to apologize when she was wrong. She was not one to hold a grudge. She was one that wanted to see the best in and for all of us grandchildren. She was playful. She was an example for all of us. And I know that on the day of her funeral, she actually passed on from this life when I was pregnant with my twins, which felt lovely because she did know that I was carrying twins. And having been a twin herself, that was very special to her. I probably have her to thank for the fact that I had twins. I was finally ready to, I was getting out of my first trimester of pregnancy and ready to go see her. And she passed away before I could get to her. But I know she knew who I was in those last few moments. I know that she lived those last few moments and hours of her life cradled by her creator, by her master. And at her funeral, oh my goodness, so many people who had loved her over the years. So I was surprised that Granny came to visit me in this way before I delivered this talk. But now that I have thought about it, it doesn't really. Granny always wanted us to do our best, and she showed us how to do it. And so we have people in our lives that can show us how to do our best in the midst of whatever is going on. And we have got a lot going on. Oh my goodness. If there's ever a time for us to be impeccable with our word, to not take anything personally, to live in integrity, to keep all of our agreements. If there's ever a time that we need to be living in what we have vowed to do, which is live our fullest as a spiritual being in a human body, to not take assumptions about anything, now is that time. Now is that time. And so as we live that way, imperfectly, practicing all the time, we begin to see that it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And we have more freedom and we have more joy, which allows us to do our best even more often. I love what Don Miguel says. He says, he doesn't say practice makes perfect, because that implies a judgment if we're not that. He does say practice makes the master. I like that. Practice makes the master. So I would ask you, what is it that you want today? Would you like to have mastery over your life through the Christ Spirit, the living breath of God that is in you? Would you like to have that? Because that's what we're talking about here today. He says everything that we've learned through repetition. And action is what makes the difference. It's not just about thinking doing our best. It's about living our life with intensity. It's about living our life fully alive. It's about living our life engaging with every moment. About finding opportunities when we have a crisis to see how God is going to help us through the day, to help us through the crisis. And the amazing thing about that is we've gotten in the habit, especially as Americans, that if we worry about a thing, if we just think about it enough, we will come up with the solution to our problem. But the truth is, that's not the answer. As we turn it over to our highest self, to our higher power, to our greatest spirit, we let it go and we discover that those answers begin to come to us on their own, that the solution to the crisis appears, not because we worked really, really hard to make it happen, but because there is that in us which always knows, which is always wise, that takes us in the direction in which we need to go. That is doing our best. That is doing our best. Don't try to escape your life. Do try to transcend the circumstances. And I hope you can hear that subtle difference. Escaping would imply that when we have a chance to take a little break, we try to numb ourselves by all the many ways that are available for us to numb ourselves. When we have a break, it might be good for us to do something that brings us joy, to do something for another that brings us joy, to take a walk outside and to engage ourselves with nature, even if it's a tiny blade of grass that's growing up through the cracks in the asphalt, to spend a little time being grateful, not because we're looking for some kind of magic star, some kind of reward because we're grateful, but we're grateful for the sake of being grateful. It expands us. It allows us to engage with life more fully, gratitude does. It allows us to see more of the things to be grateful for. It's a circular process that keeps us in the flow of life. I like to think of it as a water wheel. The water wheel, we don't know this, but it's possible that the water wheel thanks every drop of water as it goes around that allows it to run that millstone, that allows it to provide power to something. And it's a circular effect. It goes and goes and goes. And that's the way gratitude works for us. When we're being grateful, we're doing our best. Don Miguel says the four agreements are a summary of the mastery of transformation, one of the masteries of the Toltec, which is the practice that Don Miguel was a disciple of and a teacher of. And so we have the opportunity to engage in the ways of the mystic warriors, if you will. The warrior's goal is to transcend this world, to escape from this hell, not to escape from life, but to escape from the self-imposed, self-inflicted, self-produced hell, and then to never come back. By transcending, never going back to the suffering that we create for ourselves. As the Toltecs teach us, he says, the reward is to transcend the human experience of suffering, to become the embodiment of God. That is the reward. That is the reward. To become the embodiment of God. Gosh, that sounds like a worthy goal. I like the sound of that. And so, beloved, remember that doing your best is a gentle way of life. Yes, it has intensity and passion to it, but it's gentle. Doing your best doesn't mean striving. Doing your best means listening. It means allowing your course to be corrected by the very spirit that gives you life. It allows you to make amends quickly and every time it's necessary. It allows you to forgive others. I was thinking about that today. Sometimes we're not good at forgiving other people, mostly because we haven't forgiven ourselves for one thing or another or many things. When we can forgive ourselves, then the ability to forgive others comes much more easily. That is doing our best. So know this. Know that you will fail on days. You will not always be impeccable with your word. You will not always fail to take things personally. You will not always avoid assumptions. You will not always do your best. That's okay. Doing our best is the goal. It's the reward. I hope that you understand that it's difficult to speak about these things without sounding paradoxical or even having juxtaposing views on this. It's a finesse in our spiritual life. It has a lot of nuances and complexities to it. Even though the words are simple, always do your best. So I would invite you now to just take a little time to be still. We're going to have a period of meditation. I know you're used to hearing music underneath the meditation, and we won't be having that today. So if you're someplace where you can hear the music of the outdoors, listen to that. If you have music in your own home, listen to that, or listen to the sound of your own breath. And if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the sound of your own heart beating. And so right now, I invite you to look into your heart and to see if there is some place in which you are holding something against yourself. Listen for a moment and see if the judge is more at work in your inner voice than the voice of God is. Try that. And wherever you are holding something against yourself, wherever the judge is telling you how it ought to be and what you should have done and what you should be doing, will you gently set that aside? Because remember the part of you that can see and identify that, the observer self of you, is a little bit closer to the divine part of you. So observe. Observe where you hold something against yourself, where you punish yourself, where you create hell for yourself. and let it go. You may take it up again later, but let it go for now. Just let it go. And likewise, if you're holding something against someone else, imagine their face. And imagine yourself having the ability to see that person the way God might see them. In love, without judgment, without expectation, as much a child of God as you are. This does not mean that you have to excuse their actions, but simply to take your energy away from that conflict. And then, if you will, just place your hand on your heart and make a silent vow to yourself that you will do your best, that you will do your best, that you will always do your best. And that if you should not succeed in one of those four agreements in the day, you can start over. You can start over. I'm going to open my eyes now. And know that, beloved, I miss being with you today. And yet, we are together. We've agreed to take this journey with each other so that we can strengthen each other and lift each other up. Nothing changes about that, nothing at all. We are here as divinely appointed partners in our spiritual lives. And how grateful we are for that. And so my prayer is that you are a little more, sorry, that's the dog, a little more at peace. That you are renewed in your commitment to yourself. And renewed in your commitment to God. And so I leave you with those words now. Thank you, beloved.